irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Jen, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the show. Today is Monday, June 14th. Hi, Jen.
Hi, Sam.
So we have the birthday girl here.
Almost here. Almost.
Yeah. But that's okay. I told you you can have the whole week.
With your permission, I accept.
I give you permission to actually go through that since you started celebrating yesterday.
I did.
You had a very awesome party at the park.
I did. It was lovely.
Yeah, that was nice. So... And today's Flag Day also.
What does that mean?
It means that we honor the flag. It's an unofficial federal holiday. So because businesses still stay open and stuff.
Can you imagine closing for Flag Day?
Yeah, well.
I feel like nowadays there's like a day for everything. There's like World Donut Day. There's World Pizza Day. There's...
Right.
Like,
but it's not quite the same as
Love
a flag,
Tree Day.
You know?
Like,
pizza is not the same, you know. But what I found interesting is the colors of the flag where they originated. So according to the United States government website, red symbolizes valor and bravery, white symbolizes purity and innocence, and blue symbolized vigilance, perseverance, and justice. Mm. Now, I don't know about purity and innocence, but as far as our country, I don't think we're that
pure
and innocent anymore.
We're not innocent.
Huh? No, we're not innocent anymore. But
no.
Times are a-changing.
Yeah, definitely. Times are changing.
So it's my brother's birthday today also in Spain.
Oh, happy birthday.
So I wished him happy birthday yesterday. I called there and he says it's very hot there like here.
Mm.
So... yeah, so that was the case there. Now, so let's talk about your party a little bit. I really enjoyed your friends. You have some cool friends.
I saw you bonded with my roommate.
Yeah, he was
cool. He's great, isn't
he? Because he's like, you know, we're talking about Israel and stuff. We had a lot in common.
Yeah.
That, so
yeah.
We were talking about that, and I found that what he does is very unique, you know, what he does for a living.
Yeah.
So that's pretty cool, you know.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. I knew you guys would get along.
Really?
Yeah, I did.
And he's a nice guy, too.
Oh, he's so nice.
So he made the cakes, the pies, whatever it was.
The tarts, yeah.
The tarts.
He made...
But then there was another thing with the pink cream on it.
That was a lemon curd tart with a strawberry... meringue on top, and then the other one was a vanilla bean French pastry custard tart with fruit on top.
Right.
And then he made homemade spanakopita.
Yeah.
And then he made pata choux cheese puffs.
Yeah. I know. They were all good.
They were delicious.
Really good.
Yeah. I don't ever really eat dairy, but on my birthday and holidays, I let dairy in.
You let it in?
I let it in, yeah.
Good.
So I won't eat meat, but I ate dairy.
Yeah.
I ate dairy for sure, you know.
That's okay. Well, it was pretty vegetarian yesterday. There was no meat, right?
It was, so you must have missed it because the family that was barbecuing next to us the whole time later on brought us two big trays of meat.
Really?
And they said, you know, we can't let you guys just like have our... mist of the smoke without any of the meat. So they dropped off a bunch of meat for everyone.
That was nice.
Yeah, that
was
really nice.
Yeah, when I saw them set up the fire, I said, that's too close, you know?
So close.
To where we were.
Yeah.
Was the smoke terrible?
I mean, it wasn't terrible.
You just didn't like the smell probably, right?
Yeah, I don't love I don't love smelling like it after.
Yeah.
I don't like leaving a place and smelling like smoky meats.
Right.
Yeah. It's not my favorite.
Yeah.
You know.
Right.
So.
I love the smell of meat on a barbecue, though. It smells great for me.
Yeah. Yeah. Know? I mean, it's a good smell.
Yeah.
It is. Roasting carcasses.
Yeah. That's true. That's what it is.
It is. Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was a great turnout. Like a lot of people from class came. Some people hadn't like ever met before in person, because when we started first year, we were in person, and then we broke for the pandemic. And when we came back together to finish first year and do second year over Zoom, we kind of combined with another class as well, because there a lot of people had dropped off and things like that. My class pretty much stayed intact, but the other classes, people dwindled. So
you get to re-meet some of them.
Re-meet, and there was also a few people that hadn't met before in person at all. Yeah. I'd met pretty much everyone in person. Well, there was two people I hadn't met in person.
Really?
Yeah.
And you still invited them, I mean.
Yeah, I invited the whole class.
Wow, that's pretty cool.
I mean, I see them twice a week, and we, like, rehearse on Zoom, and, you know, you spend so much time with somebody just, like, face-to-face on a computer, but just not in person.
Right.
Yeah, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Times are a-changing, let me tell you, man.
Times are changing, isn't it? Yeah. Isn't it weird?
Yeah.
Like, I remember when AOL was a thing, and my friends and I would, like, talk on Instant Messenger on AOL, and then we would go into, like, the weird chat rooms, and we would troll people on there. Like, we would pretend to be much older than we were, and we all had, like, fake pictures that we, like, found off the internet, and, like, no one, like, knew because no one thought to look. And then there was just AIM, where it was just the instant messenger, and we would go on and we would like wait for people to talk to. but I remember like once like MySpace came out, we would, I don't know, I mean like some of the people in my friend group, like we would have people that we talked to, or people in the MySpace community, we would like talk to each other. Like there was a girl that I talked to for years actually.
Right.
And her and I, we literally talked for like 10 years via MySpace and then Facebook. And we just like stayed in contact as friends. And one day when I was out in, I was like traveling across country. I don't remember where we stopped, but she was living at that in that area. And we ended up meeting up and we met in person once, which was really cool.
Yeah,
but we'd just been internet friends for like over a decade, you know, since we were like in middle school. And, you know, you just like, sometimes like you just can't rely, especially when you're young, you don't have like reliable friends, and there's something, it's like such a weird thing, but like I've had so many friendships where like you really just like can talk to these people sometimes more than the people that you know, because like you don't, you like know this person but you like don't know them, you know. There's like something about like talking to people about really private stuff and then having to like interact with them,
right?
Especially at a young age, kids are weird and they don't know how to they don't know how to deal with information.
That's funny because when I was a kid, when I was a teenager, we had pen pals.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know, somehow we would write in school and they would connect it with American students.
Yeah.
And they would write back and stuff. And so that was really weird. Not just American, but in fact, I was writing to this girl in Denmark, you know.
Mm.
So I was going to meet her when I went to Denmark with my family, but it never happened because he was like in a different city or something.
Sure.
But then when I came here to live, there was a girl in Indiana and I stopped there for a day. And that was neat, you know, when you, I mean, we never even talked, you know, it was just letters.
Yeah.
So that was funny.
That's so cool.
She invited me to her home. I was like 16 and I stayed there for a couple of days. So that was nice. The only times, the only time I've been to Indiana, I had a, you know, an excuse to go there, but.
See, I love that kind of stuff.
Yeah, so you it's like really old fashioned, you know.
I know. We had pen pals in elementary school.
Yeah.
And an acting coach I work with, actually, she sponsors a program where you can be pen pals with people in prison.
Yeah.
Which I think is kind of cool. You know, I imagine they get quite lonely.
Yeah.
Yeah. But there's a few TikToks, actually, about women who pen paled with men in prison. And now they're like together. I'm like, what are they in for?
I know, you know, man, that's terrible.
Hopefully it's just like, you know, like a financial
maybe
issue.
It is, you know, maybe they just fall in love, you know, I don't know.
Yeah,
you know,
but I mean, just hope they're not like in prison for murder or something,
right? And they're there forever, you know.
Yeah. Or like they're just murderers.
Yeah, maybe they just meet someone who know is going to be released or something.
Yeah,
know?
Maybe.
Things like that. I don't know that I would want to spend my time with prisoners, but
it's tough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess you know, people get desperate or whatever, you know.
Yeah, I mean,
they
people
go, hey,
can turn their life around.
Tinder's not working for me. I'll try prison.
Hey, honestly, like, they're people in prison are probably a little bit more in touch with who they are than some of the people you find on Tinder. It's a mess.
It is a mess, right?
It's a total mess. Yeah.
Wow. So, next Monday, we're going to have great guests.
Great.
One of them is going to be a ventriloquist. He's going to bring his dummy with him.
In person?
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
And he was, I didn't realize this in the beginning when they pitched it, but he was on the series Soap. Now, you probably don't even know of the series Soap. It was a comedy. It was a half-hour sitcom. Mm. But it was like an ongoing story, you know? So
yeah.
Like soap operas. It wasn't like each episode on its own.
Sure.
So he was there. He was part of the family. And it was so funny, you know? I mean, I loved him because the puppet was so, like, sarcastic. It was unbelievable, you know? So I'm glad they're going to be here.
That's exciting.
It kind of reminds me. But he's probably much older by now, you know? And not probably, but, you know, so I don't know what he looks like now. But he wrote a book, and he's going to be appearing in Vegas and stuff at the end of the month. So,
so exciting.
I know. So
I'm excited to have
here.
A guest in person.
I know. Wow.
That's great.
It's been a while, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. We're going to start having more now. Tomorrow is the date that they're scheduled to open up California.
Yes.
So I'm celebrating. I'm hoping that it's going to go through, you know. I mean, they're not really talking about it now.
No.
Nobody's saying anything.
I mean, I saw they released information that it was going to happen, and then they released a confirmation last week.
Oh, they did?
They did. They released a confirmation.
Good.
So it's going to be, I mean, if you go on Open Table, reservation, there are no reservations anywhere. Everywhere is completely booked.
Yeah, huh?
Yeah.
I know. I went to a restaurant with my brother last night, and that place used to be packed. And then during the pandemic, I mean, well, first of all, I guess they were closed for a while.
Sure.
And then recently, you know, every time I pass by there, it's kind of empty.
Yeah.
But last night it was full house, man. So I think people are desperate to go out.
You know? People really want to go out. It's not only like the pandemic, but it's the time of year. Like this is a really popping time of year for people to, it's busy season in restaurants.
That's true. Yeah.
You know, so I mean, people are itching
lines.
Even more.
You see lines outside and stuff. You know?
All the brunch places. I was walking around Silver Lake the other day. The brunch places were completely slammed.
Yeah. And I think many of them are like not full capacity because they don't have enough employees, you know.
I know.
I mean, I could tell last night they only had 3 or 4 waiters and they were so busy. It was unbelievable.
I know. That's everywhere. That's across the board. Like restaurant people who are working in the restaurants they're making a lot of money, but they're so tired.
Right.
They're absolutely exhausted.
Right.
It's a great time to get a job if you want one.
Yeah, it is.
If you're underqualified for something, it's a great time to get that job you're underqualified for.
I know.
Places are desperate.
And all those unemployed people who think they can live on that's going to end eventually.
Yeah.
So what are they going to do then? I don't know.
Who knows?
You know.
Yeah.
But it's a very confusing time, I think. People don't know what the hell to do, what to expect or anything, you know?
Sure.
So that's pretty shit, man. But I'm glad this thing's going to be over. And you know what the interesting thing is, and I wanted to bring this up here, is some people insist on still wearing masks, you know?
Sure.
And, you know, like the people that wear masks when they're alone in the car and stuff. I don't know what's behind that, you know. But the thing is that apparently, I mean, I'm reading this article and it kind of hit home because this guy says the mask became kind of a symbol, you know. I don't know for what exactly, but it makes people feel good, I guess, you know. I don't know why.
It's like a symbol, I guess, for showing everyone else that you're proud to wear a mask and that it's not that hard.
I don't know about proud to wear a mask. I mean, what's there to be proud of?
Because of the anti-maskers versus the people who are willing to wear a mask. It's that whole thing.
Yeah, but what? But how does it make you feel good? I don't understand. I mean, the thing is, it's supposed
to... Because you're willing to wear one.
Yeah, but, you know, I mean, the thing is that, especially in the beginning also when they said, I mean, now they're reminding us that even Fauci himself said that masks are not going to help because it's not going to stop the virus, you know, the particles, whatever it is.
Mm.
So, I don't know. I have a feeling that one day we're going to find out we didn't need to wear the masks, you know, but what do I know? But at any rate, right now, I mean, I saw people being interviewed and they don't even know why they're still wearing the mask. They just do because they say, oh, I got used to it, you know?
Yeah, it's a habit now.
Yeah, you know, so I don't know. But I guess it does make people feel good about themselves or something, you know?
Yeah. I think sometimes with the car thing, I think it's probably a combination of things. Like, I think, you know, like maybe they... Like, there are times, like, sometimes I've gotten in the car and just, like, forgotten to take it off. And then after, like, driving for, like, 5 minutes, I'm like, wait a minute, why am I wearing this?
Right. So it must not bother you, you know? I mean, there's people that the mask really bothers, like, yeah. Like me, for example. I don't really think it's that healthy to breathe everything that comes out of your mouth, you know?
No, I don't think so either.
Yeah. And it's hot, you know, and,
yeah.
And all that stuff. But
I also, like, had to wear them for 15-16 hour set days, so
right.
When you have to wear them for long extended periods of time, like, your brain almost goes in, especially in the beginning, it goes into this almost like meditative state,
right.
Where you just have to, like, teach yourself to just be okay, especially with the N95s on, because on set we have to wear N95s. You just, like, basically, like, the first, like, couple minutes you feel almost like you're panicking a little bit, you know, plus the shield on and everything. So, like, I would go into this almost like meditative, like, okay, just relax. You got this.
Right.
You just have to wear it. Just get used to it. And then after a while, like, I'm fine. And then now I can wear an N95 in 100 degree heat. No issue.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Huh.
It's just, it becomes mind over matter.
Yeah. I mean, they're saying here that they're relaxing some other things, like, now it's okay not to wear a mask in public transportation, you know. So in outdoor transportation settings, whatever that means.
Mm.
I mean, how can it be outdoor if you're inside a bus or a train or something?
Yeah.
You know? I don't know that. But
maybe when you're, like, waiting on the train platform or at the bus stop. Maybe that's what that means.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, because we don't have, like, trolleys or anything where they're open.
Right. Well, not here, but, yeah. I mean, the rest of the country, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, here we don't have shit here as far as public transportation, you know?
Yeah, I know.
I was talking to your friend, and he's going on a train. And that gave me a good idea, you know, about...
Who, Justin?
No, not Justin, but this other guy, the music teacher.
Nick, yeah.
Yeah, Nick, yeah. That's right.
He is.
He said he's going to New Orleans or something in the train.
Yeah.
You know,
it's like a guy.
A train is a good alternative, you know?
It is.
I mean, you have to sit there longer, but at least you're on firm ground.
And if you get on, like, a long-distance train, like when I took an auto train from Virginia to Florida, it was an overnight ride, they give you wine with dinner and... It's great. You have a grand old time.
Oh, really?
Yeah. My friend and I, they gave us like 4 carafes of wine with dinner.
Really?
And then we filled our water bottles up and we just were like hammered the whole night.
Wow.
Now,
they have some with, you can have like your own private cabin and stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
But that's probably a lot more expensive.
It is, but.
Yeah, it might be worth it, you know?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
It's fun.
I know. I mean, I can't sleep in just the train because I'm probably going to snore like crazy with my sleep apnea. You know?
Oh, you're a snorer.
Yeah, well, yeah. Mm. It's worse than that because it's a sleep apnea, you
mm-hmm.
know. So that doesn't even mix up with that. And
snoring doesn't even annoy me anymore. I just feel like I like to hear all the different kinds of snores that people have. Like,
yeah, but if you're on the train, it's embarrassing to sleep and snore. You know?
I bet.
Or on a plane, you know.
I like to just know what other people's, like, snores are like.
Yeah.
You know, like, everyone has their own signature snore.
Right. But, I mean, if you try to sleep or something, or even try to read or anything, and someone was snoring next to you, loud.
I just put my headphones in.
Really?
Yeah. I'm really good at ignoring things sometimes. It depends on my mood. I'm either great at ignoring things or I'm like super hyper focused on how annoyed I am. And I never know what it's going to be.
I know.
Yeah.
I have such low tolerance. You know, I get irritated with everything.
Oh, my gosh. The other day I was like so irritated. Like, you know, I like hate to say it, but like certain times of the month, I just really am grumpier than others. And I was super grumpy and my friend came with me to the store and we like, I had to like go get something at Rite Aid and I got there and the doors were locked. Like they were closed. I'm like, and I just like grunted out loud in the parking lot. I was like, and he just looked at me like, are you okay? I was like, no, I'm not okay.
That's funny, man.
Yeah.
Wow.
You know, it's just,
I know. Talking about the sleep apnea, I brought up this article that I guess Philips is recalling sleep apnea machines over possible cancer risk.
That's no good.
Right.
Why would that do that?
Because there's some kind of plastic there that can be, it may disintegrate and be inhaled, causing health issues, including toxic and carcinogenic effects.
Man, so plastic is the worst.
So that's one thing why I don't, one reason, well, that's not the reason, but I guess I'm lucky that I haven't been.
It's an added reason to give you a good excuse.
Right.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, when I wake up in the middle of the night, I feel like I'm breathing heavily, like my body really works hard, you know, when I'm supposed to sleep and rest.
Yeah, it's
when
it's
I was
not
at the hospital, the doctor told me, he says, it's like a car that you never turn off, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So that can lead to a lot of problems.
Yeah.
But I can't sleep with those machines, man. Maybe I should try again, but
you just got to, like, put your head in a different space when you do it.
Yeah, and maybe just be tolerant for a few days until you get used to it. You know?
Yeah, just tell yourself, like, this is fine. You're going to adjust. Just give it a few days. Like,
right.
It's like sometimes you can just, like, try something and automatically be like, nope, I don't like this. This doesn't work. Or you can try it and be like, I know this is going to be aggravating the first few times I
right.
use it.
That's what I need to do.
Yeah.
Because it seems to be like the only solution for that, you know?
Sure.
I mean, there's like a million things that people try to sell, but it's the only one that seems to work because it makes you breathe through your nose, you know?
And the problem with sleep apnea is, like, let's say you had to have a procedure done and they gave you pain meds. Sometimes when you're on pain meds, it puts you in a deeper sleep. And right. so you won't actually wake yourself up.
Right.
You know, and then that's how a lot of people with sleep apnea end up like dying in their sleep.
Yeah,
is because they have a procedure for something totally different. That's how my uncle died.
Wow.
He was on pain meds and he was in such a deep sleep. He just didn't wake back up.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's nothing to laugh about.
No.
I don't know.
So just force it on yourself, you know?
Yeah.
You know, because once you get used to it, you'll probably realize that you're having much better sleep.
Right.
You know?
It's interesting you brought up the thing about plastic because we're going to have a guest on the phone who made a movie about the guy that invented plastics.
Mm.
And that's pretty interesting, you know, because, I mean, what it says, it's one of the best and the worst things that men ever created.
I fully agree with that.
Yeah,
you
right.
know, like, look around, like, there's plastic on these headphones, like, this is BPA-free plastic, like, my cheap fake leather bag. I mean, the other leather bag is a solid one, but this stupid little white one is cute, but it's made of plastic.
Right.
You know, these little contraptions.
But it's really revolutionized everything, you know. But
yeah.
It can be toxic and it doesn't it doesn't disintegrate or
And there's so
compost,
much microplastics in our food.
Really? In the food?
Oh yeah. They take samples of like ground meats or, you know, crackers, anything that comes in a package, basically. And they tested a bunch of different foods, like a huge array of foods under a microscope. And they found all these little microplastics. And they said over the course of a week, depending on how much processed food you eat, the average American consumes a credit card worth of plastic.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Wow.
How crazy is that?
Yeah.
I can't get that out of my head. I hate it so much.
I know, but it's like, you know, we can't like be bothered by all these things. We won't do anything, you know?
But
we're afraid of everything, you know?
I mean, you can still do things, you just can do them differently. Yeah. Like not eat so much packaged shit.
Yeah.
We really eat so much packaged food here. The UK eats as much packaged food as we do. Right. And they said...
But, you know, I mean, even when you buy vegetables, you put them in a plastic bag, you know? Bags that are hard to open. You don't? None of the vegetables?
I usually keep my veggies in a bowl.
At the store?
No, like once I bring them home, right, I don't...
Right, the store.
No, I just put them in the cart.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I never realized you could even do that, you know?
Yeah, I just wash it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I mean, I wash it when I get home, but yeah, I don't know. I think it would just get all over the place, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know, but it makes sense, I guess. Yeah, those bags are so hard to open anyway.
I know, and I just don't like that squeaky.
I know, and then when you have a mask, you can't, like, wet your fingers or anything, you know, which is not sanitary anyway. But,
I know.
But it's your own bag, your own this, you know, whatever.
Yeah, but also, like, those bags are just, like, to bring it from the store to your house. Like, right. What a waste.
Yeah.
What a waste, you know?
Yeah.
I'm going to wash everything anyway.
Yeah. I don't know. All these things we have to think about. You know?
I know. And I used to cut my veggies and then after they'd be cut, I'd put them in a Ziploc or something. And now, like, if I just cut half a pepper, I'll put the pepper just, like, in a bowl. I have, like, some of my cut veggies in a bowl in the fridge.
Right.
So that they're not.
Or, like, in aluminum foil, you can put them in there, too, right?
I don't like to do that either.
But that preserves the food.
It does. Yeah. But I'll do, like, a bowl and then, like, a bowl on top or something. So it doesn't, you know, stuff like cucumbers will absorb the taste of whatever the refrigerator is. If you ever like go to a diner, like a really old musty diner, and you get something that has cucumber on it, the cucumber always tastes like it's been in a refrigerator with a bunch of other things.
Really?
Like it kind of tastes a little like onion, like a little like a raw meat. Like it just, there's like a taste to it that's disgusting.
Yeah. So you got to wrap it in something, you know?
Yeah. They make these like healthy bags now for veggies that will preserve them. I don't know what they're made out of, but it's not plastic. It's not foil. It's like an all natural reusable material. It's like a reusable Ziploc kind of thing, but not plastic.
Mm. So what kind of material?
I don't know what they're made out of. Mm. I'll have to look it up.
Mm. Yeah. Oh, well.
Yeah. They're using cactus now for a lot of stuff like that. Like, they process cactus a certain way. They're making leather with cactus now. They're making, like, baggies with cactus, all sorts of stuff.
Hmm, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Did you ever have the fruit from a cactus?
Mm-hmm.
It's the best, huh?
It's so good, right?
My
friend T, that had the red dress on yesterday,
right.
She brought me a cactus, the kind that you can eat. And she is always, I've eaten cactus before. I mean, as vegan, there's not always vegetarian options. So I've had cactus a few times.
Yeah.
It's good.
In Israel, they like it. Sometimes on the side of the road, there's people selling them, you know.
Mm.
They put them like in ice. And then so when you get it, it's like, it's got a lot of pits in it, but or seeds, whatever. Mm. But it's good. It's sweet and...
Mm.
It's, if you never tasted it before, it's really worth trying. You know?
It's good, yeah. It's good in savory dishes.
Just don't get it on your own because of all the spikes. Whatever they have on there. It's like you don't want to mess with the cactus unless you know what you're doing, you know.
There is this farm in the desert I saw a video about, and what they do is they burn the cacti,
uh-huh.
And it burns all the spikes off so that they can feed it to the cows.
Oh, really?
And then the cows eat them. <It's> so cute. I love it.
Oh, wow. You know, they call Israeli Sabra, which is the Hebrew name for cactus.
Oh, is that what that means?
Yeah.
That's that hummus brand you see everywhere.
Right,
it's a garbage hummus, but...
But someone who was born in Israel is called a Sabra, and that's because it's like... Prickly on the outside, like tough on the outside and sweet on the inside.
Mm.
I mean, if you've seen Israeli, you know, they can be a little, what's
spiky
the word?
Spiky on the outside.
Yeah. No, that's not the word I'm looking for, but the opposite of smooth, you know what I mean? Mm. They're just a little bit like rough around the edges or something.
Sure,
you know?
Totally.
But it's like you have to be. You have to survive so much shit there, you know?
Yeah.
And not just from enemies and stuff, but like people have no patience, you know? You go, you stand, you wait for the bus. There's no such thing as a line. It's just like a bunch of people all pushing, trying to get in at the same time.
Yeah, that's like New York.
So that's like stressful, you know?
Yeah, New York's like that.
Oh, New York's like that too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
I guess when there's so many people in a small area, that's what happens, you know?
Yeah, depending on what neighborhood you're in, like, they'll, like, push old people over.
Yeah.
You know? Like, people with canes will just push them over.
I know. It's, like, so sad.
It is sad. Yeah.
Yeah. Jeez, man. Getting old is not fun.
I think what really sucks, though, is that, like, people just discard the elderly. Right. Like, they just... They're so afraid to look it in the face, to like look aging in the face, that they don't want to.
I think you're right.
They don't want to deal with it at all. You know, they don't want to deal with sickness or ailments or any of that. And they'd rather just stay in their like young, vibrant bubble. But the thing is, like, as we get older, we just like realize so much more about being a human.
Right.
And I think that's something that young people, it's like, I gave this example to someone the other day. It's like the difference between, you know, a 60-year-old blowing their nose while they're on a train and a 20-year-old blowing their nose on the train. Like someone who's in their 60s is just going to blow their nose. Like they're not thinking about it. They just blow their nose. They don't think twice and that's it. And someone who's 20 is like self-conscious. They're like, people are going to be looking at me while I'm blowing my nose. Like it's like just this confidence you get too, when you age, just about doing things that are so human.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. I saw a meme actually, of a quote by supposedly David Bowie. I don't know, but that says, the good thing about when you get older is you become the person you always should have been.
It's true.
And, you know, I mean, you learn a lot, you know.
It's
true. You learn a lot and stuff.
And it's a combination too, right? Because like when you're in your early 20s, like depending on what your high school, middle school, elementary school experience is, because when you're in high school, you're still like recovering from whatever happened in elementary school, like whether it was positive or negative, like kids just keep carrying over until the end of high school who they kind of were in elementary school. Like if you were teased, you're usually teased all the way through. Or if you're, you know, a cool kid, you're like cool all the way through. And then like you graduate and everything's different. And then, you know, you graduate at what, 18? And then you have 19, 20, 21, 22. Like you're still coming out of who you were labeled as in school. And there's this thing we talk about in acting where it's like, you know, if somebody calls a behavior you're doing or says something about, like, you know, like an objective statement about you during an exercise, sometimes that person, even if it's not truthful to what they're actually doing, they almost take on what the other person said because it's a natural human psychological instinct to kind of take on something that people say that we are.
Right.
And so, you know, who you are in high school is not necessarily who you are. It's a combination of who you are, your experiences, and how people treat you, because we just naturally, it's human nature to take on what people say we are sometimes.
Right.
Whether we
and
realize
we don't
it or
only
not.
Do that when we're young. I mean, we take it pretty, you know, pretty much all our lives, you know.
Exactly.
And it's like, it seems like, you know, that you like, and good, social media is a good example, you know, because it amplifies it. And you could have like 100 people saying positive things, but if there's one person says negative, that's what you focus on, you know? She almost fell off the chair. But yeah, that's what you focus on. You know?
It's true. I mean, it's the same thing with like restaurant reviews or, you know, anything like that. Like people are more likely to leave a negative review than a positive one. But, you know, your 20s is you basically like figuring out like what kind of person that you thought you were that you're not and who you want to be. And I feel like you don't fully come into that until you're in your 30s or 40s. And I think people are nowadays are more exploratory about figuring that out a little bit sooner than later. You know, like, we're not so quick to hurry up and get married and have kids, and being a parent and being a spouse is our identities. And I think people are spending more time on their on themselves, which I think is a good thing. But I don't know, like, it's kind of like, you know, when 20-year-olds are like, oh, I know who I am, I know who I am. And I'm like, nobody.
Right.
You know, it, no, you don't. Like, you know you are a little bit, but you right. still have so much to figure out. Plus, biologically, your prefrontal cortex isn't even closed yet. So your decision-making, your thought process, like, things are so different and your anxieties are different. Like, the anxiety I had when I was in my early 20s and mid-20s, like, is so much different than now. Like, I could not be happier to be in my 30s.
Yeah.
Truly. Like, I just, yeah, it's, well, a way better place.
Are really, I think, the best, you know?
Yeah.
The best years. Because you're not too young, you're not too old. It's like perfect, you know?
Yeah.
I know my 30s were shit because, well, I got married when I was 30.
Mm.
And the marriage wasn't that great. I mean, I also had my kids, which was amazing. But I went through a lot of depression. That's when I... That's when I was battling my bipolar disorder and things like that, you know, because apparently it comes out when there's a lot of pressure in your life, you know.
Sure.
And I mean, when it was quantified and I had a name for it, it was a lot easier to deal with it. But I remember that all my life has been like that, you know. It's just that you don't know what it is. You just think it's a personality defect or something.
Sure.
You know? And, so I was going through some hard times and stuff, and but I felt that the 30s should have been, or in general, I think those are the best years, you know, because, again, you know, you start building a family, you start building your future, you know.
Yeah.
So you're right about that.
And it's funny, too, because, like, when... It's like every generation that's like a teenager or like a really young 20s adult, they never want to believe what people 30 and 40 plus have to say about what's going on in life. They always think they know better. And then when they're 30 and 40, they're saying the same things to the 20-year-olds, and the 20-year-olds still don't believe that that's what it is.
Right.
And it's like generation after generation, or decade after decade, rather, like, we just keep giving the advice that we, you know, like, once needed, and then people don't believe it because they think, like, when you're young, you think whatever things are now is just how they are.
Right.
And that's not true.
That's true.
It's not true at all.
I agree, you know, and the thing is that you keep evolving every day, you know, so it's like by the time you reach 50 or whatever, you know yourself pretty well, or at least you should, you know,
yeah.
by then. I mean, that's enough time to really understand who you are.
Yeah.
You know, so that's why life should become easier. I don't know if it is, but it should become easier as you get older, you know. And then you get really old, and then it's not as easy anymore, you know.
Just by the time you figure it out.
Yeah, you know. Then you turn, like, 75 or something, and all the problems start happening, you know.
Mm.
With health and stuff, so, but I guess we weren't supposed to live that long, you know, because if you remember, people used to, like, die when they were like 40, 50, you know, and now we live a lot longer because of technology and medicine and everything.
Sure.
But I don't think the body was designed to live 90 years, you know. So,
it's actually designed to live up to 150. We just don't treat it well.
Where
scientifically.
Did you get that information?
There's a lot of info on that.
I mean, but you see that we're like, I mean, you get to 90, you're so frail, you know?
Yeah, because we don't take care of ourselves the way we should necessarily.
So you think if we did, you'd live longer than 90?
Yeah, I do.
I don't think so, but, you know.
I mean, people usually don't live as old as 90,
you
know? But the average person doesn't have a really healthy lifestyle.
Yeah, but, you know, I mean, the thing is maybe not, but we have medicine that prolongs our lives, fixes things, you know, so we live a lot longer, but I can't imagine the body was designed for anything beyond, I don't know, 80, 85 or something, you know.
Hmm.
I'm not saying it's the end of life, but
sure.
I just, when I look around, I see people become pretty frail. Now, not everybody.
Sure.
Of course, you know, there's people that live to be 90, 95, and they totally function and everything, you know.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I mean, you know, we're living longer than we ever did.
Yeah.
So we have to deal with these issues and stuff, you know. I just, you know, I mean, when you get to my age, you really start worrying about your future because, you know, you go, well, how am I going to be when I'm like older, you know, at the age when you start getting sick or whatever, you know, and there's so many things that can go wrong.
Yeah.
And you worry about how you're going to have an income and all that stuff, you know. I mean, already as it is, if I wanted to get a job today, it would be extremely hard for me to get a job because they don't look for people my age, you know. So I have to be creative and have my own business, you know, no matter what it is.
Yeah.
But you pretty much, that's what you have to do, you know. And then how long can you do that, you know? I mean, I have a relative, he's an optometrist. He's got muscular dystrophy.
Ugh.
And sclerosis, whatever it is, but either way, MS, multiple
sclerosis.
Yeah, I was saying it right.
Yeah.
And I look at him, and it's like he has trouble walking. He looks frail and stuff. And he's, I don't know how he is, how old he is, maybe 70 or something. Yeah. You know. So it worries me. And he says, my family is like pushing me to sell the business because if I die, the business is not worth as much, you know?
Mm.
So, and it's true, you know, I mean, you have a business, it relies on you. And if you can't work anymore, you're in deep shit, you know?
Yeah.
So it's not easy. It's
no,
not
that
easy
sounds like a lot of stress.
It is, you know, it really is. I don't mean to bring you down or anything.
No, but, not at all. I just,
but these are things that go through my mind, you know?
I mean, I already kind of think like that. I can't imagine thinking more like that than I already think.
I know. But then there's some people that have fun in their lives. This is interesting. In India, a man just died who had a large family, 39 wives.
Oh, my goodness.
39 wives. If you saw the picture with all the kids and everything, there's like, 39 wives, 94 children, and 33 grandchildren. So you're almost looking at almost 200 people.
Oh, my gosh.
In his family. Now, apparently, he was married the first time at 17. He was 17. And then once he married 10 women in 1 year. Now,
oh my gosh.
You have to wonder about his motives there. I mean, well, what the hell is that about?
Also, where do you get the energy for that?
The energy and everything. How do you support all these people? So apparently, maybe every wife works also or has worked until she had kids, whatever, you know. But they lived in a village that has like, I mean, so there's like, I'm seeing like a building with about 100 rooms in a remote village, you know, and apparently his father started this and made polygamy like allowed, you know, so it's interesting how these sects, it was a religious sect, you know, 2,000 members. And it's mind-boggling to think about that.
Oh, my
you
gosh.
Know? Yeah.
I don't know how.
How do you keep track of anybody? You know, I mean, you look at some of these Mormons that have married two or three women, and you go, how do you keep that straight, you know, with all the kids and everything?
I can't, no hate at all, but I just can't wrap my brain around even marrying once.
Right. You know,
let alone like two or three times having multiple children with multiple people.
Right. And you have to wonder what the women are thinking. And I think some of them figure, you know, that I'll be taken care of and everything. And Maybe there's a shortage of men where they live, you know?
Imagine, like, having to manage that schedule. Yeah. I don't want to manage my own schedule, you know?
I hear you.
Especially when I'm doing assisting work. I don't want to manage their schedule. I don't want to manage my own schedule.
Right.
I just want someone to manage my schedule for me.
Right, exactly.
I want an assistant.
Yeah.
I don't need other people's schedules to manage his schedule, the kid's schedule, multiple children's schedule. No.
Yeah.
No. Nope.
Then you shouldn't have kids. You really shouldn't. I don't think you have the patience for it.
I have the patience. I just also don't want to be bothered.
Yeah.
You know? I'm like, no.
Okay. Isn't that impatience then?
No, I just...
I don't want to be bothered with that stuff.
Yeah, really. Like if I had to do it, I would have the patience.
Yeah.
You know, I've nannied. I'm great with kids. I've taken care of sick people. I have a lot of patience when I want to.
Right.
But I just
but you
don't
definitely
want
have
to.
Yeah, you'd have to manage a lot about these kids. You know?
I can especially have patience for days. The people who already exist, who I already care about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, today we're like helicopter parents, so
yeah.
It's like you have to be so involved with your kids, it's draining.
Yeah.
I mean, when I was a kid, I'm sure it was still hard for our families, you know, but at least we were taking care of ourselves, you know?
Yeah, I would go out and play, and
yeah,
that's
exactly,
it.
Yeah, exactly, you know?
No one would know where I was.
Right.
I was out in the woods with my friends.
You know, or responsible for your own homework and all that stuff, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And today the parents have to be like, do everything with you, drive you everywhere, and
we just bite.
Play dates and shit like that.
I know. As soon as I remember... Like when I was a kid, we would just go to each other's houses and knock on the door. Hey, can you come out and play? And then when I started getting a little bit older, my neighbor who I was maybe like 8 when she had her kid. But I used to like help out around the house with her. And I remember like that was the first that I heard of play dates. Like they set up play dates. I'm like, we used to just call each other and say, like, hey, can you come out and play?
Right.
If they didn't live close by. Or like, hey, you want to come over today? It wasn't like, let's set up a play date. Like,
right.
It was
right.
So much more casual. And then I would bike over to their house or they would bike to my house or.
Right.
I'd get maybe
more spontaneous.
A ride. Yeah.
Yeah. And you had your friends, you know. I mean, your parents trusted that you're okay. I mean, those were safer times, too. You know, I mean, you can't blame everything on the parents. It was. You know, you didn't have to worry about the kids as much as today, you know. But, you know, at least in my time, it was much safer.
Yeah, so, my time was when all the child kidnapping started happening.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I know. You were born at a time where already kids have to be driven everywhere. And especially in L.A., you know, there's no, like, public transportation.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember... My mom would send me on a bus alone when I was maybe 7, 8 years old.
Yeah. Yeah.
Really?
I mean, I grew up, my best friends, it was like a big Irish family. They had like all boys. There was, the oldest was a girl, but I was friends with all the boys. And so like we would always be getting into trouble. And I mean, we were like a whole crew. So I always my mom always felt comfortable because there was like a group of us.
Yeah.
You know, it was 4 of us at all times, like 3 of them, 1 of me. And we would just, like, bike around. We would go in the woods and scout for skinheads. And, you know, we were always, like, climbing shit and throwing shit.
I know. I think kids do miss out a lot on being outside, you know.
Yeah. And when you're friends with boys, like, when something, at least back then, when, like, girls were when girls were more stereotypically took on the role of a girl. Nowadays, girls... They'll throw rocks too, but we, you know, if someone started bothering us, we just started throwing rocks at them.
Yeah.
You know? Like we had some weird guy like come out of a convenience store once and was like trying to talk to us and we were like, get away. And he kept walking towards us. So we just started throwing sticks and rocks on him while we got on our bikes and biked away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know. And we used to make our own toys. Like we make like slingshots and shit. And,
yeah, it was great.
You know, and what else did we make? I mean, shit, you know, there was so many things that we play with, you know, and it was just like fun, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, we build like these little carts and stuff, you know.
So
like
great.
Like a car, you know, take like stroller wheels, you know, office strollers, get some wood, some lumber, and make a little car out of it, you know.
Yeah.
Like go-karts without a motor or anything, you know, but we'd go downhill and. Things like that, you know.
So fun.
I know.
I loved it. We used to make snow forts And then we were hardcore. We would make snowballs. We'd make a whole mountain of them. And then we would roll them all in the puddles of water so that they would turn to ice. And then we'd have ice balls.
Oh, God.
That we would chuck.
Those are hard.
Yeah. Yeah. We are no joke.
Oh, wow. All right. Well, I see we're running out of time here. Okay. Well, we better run because we have another show coming up.
All right.
So have a great birthday.
I'll see you tomorrow.
All week.
Thank you.
And that's it. We'll see you all tomorrow. Thank you for listening.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Jen, only on LA Talk Radio.